everyone, and welcome back for your weekly dose of Pod Pals, where tonight we will be reviewing Season 3, Episode 15, Homer Alone. Again, we see Homer's parenting put to the test, but before we get into all of that, let me bring in the only person I can think of less qualified than Homer to look after children. It's Dan. Hiya.
Hello, hello. I'm not allowed near no children ever, the policeman said.
And why did he say that, Daniel?
He said, I do things that aren't appropriate in this country.
Things that are illegal in this country, Danny. Was very, look, very particular about that word.
Tomato, tomato. That's all I
can't
say.
Can't say right or do one wrong, can you?
No, I'm absolutely fine. You know how I said my appendix went and stuff? Well, I've then like got loads of pain in my fingers and I've cracked a tooth. And turns out I have a vitamin D deficiency as well, which is all linked to calcium in your bones. So life's just swell.
You're not doing well, are you, son?
Nah, it's just one thing after another. I'll be honest, I'm starting to get quite down. This is a cry for help.
Oh, dear. Well, I was going to give you my cry for help now, if that's all right.
Oh, I'd love that. You know what? Your cry for help might make me feel better.
Well, I was going to say that my teeth really hurt. You know how I told you a couple of weeks ago I got my fillings and they just haven't changed anything?
Your 500-pound filling.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, because me and you had this discussion off air. Uh-huh. Haven't you got some sort of medical cement that is essentially used in dentistry that you bought off the dark web? So yes. I was essentially going to ask you off air, but we might as well do it on. Why the fuck not? Where did you buy that, Dan? Because I think I need it.
I'll send you the link. I daresn't put it out to public broadcast where I got it. But what you need to remember is when you mix it 1-1, it's cement with water. When you mix it 1-2, it's a lot more malleable. So you need to just be careful, because you don't want to cement a filling if it's not fixed into place properly.
Oh, God, imagine. $6,000 to get it fixed as well.
Exactly. You know, it's a disgrace, mate, because I did go private during the week just to get sort of a check out. And honestly, I need a couple of fillings. Okay, that's life. That happens. £538.
Horrendous, man.
How?
Yeah, what they did with me, because I actually saw your itemized bill. You did put it on social media.
I did.
And it's the same. It cost me £50 to go for a checkup. So it was £50 for them to tell me that I needed two fillings. I knew when I went in there that I needed two fillings. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I told them what I needed. That's why I was there.
Genuinely, I will do my own dentistry now. I'm not bothered. I'm not saying I'm going to be able to rip
dentistry.
We are accepting NHS patients if you would like to. But we'll go with the NHS band charge, where it's like £39 for the checkup, then 70 for your fillings, and then you want a root canal, 200 bish, but it's better than private. And I mean, I would advise me not to heavily, heavily underqualified to do the dentistry, but we'll give it a go.
We have to stop because we cement somebody's mouth shut.
This is the worst day of my life.
Nice. I like how you bring it back to The Simpsons. That's very good.
Hey, somebody's got to, haven't they? Somebody's got to.
That ain't going to be me. But no, what did you think about this episode before we delve into it?
Loved it. I think it's very fair to how like it is for mums, you know what I mean? Like, because mums do so much around the house and so much keeping the kids right and the husband right. Because I'm hopeless without my missus. Like, if I didn't have her, I genuinely would like struggle just to get by. Like, she does so much for me. So I think it was very fair on Marge, and I felt for Marge, but I was also pleased that she got a bit of time away at the spa.
Yeah, I think like I've got that in my notes as well. Similarly, like I think our mums grew up with like very, very similar in the way like the parented, if that's the word.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And yeah, I see a lot of like my mum in Marge. So I think that's why I like Marge. I'm like, oh, go on. Like when she has a bit of like, when something nice happens to her, I'm like, oh, go on. You deserve that.
Yes, I agree. I also thought it was very sweet when Maggie was looking for her and like she landed on next to the ice cream shop with the symbol of the hair and stuff. Oh, bless her.
Dan, you've seen my notes, are you? Literally everything, we've got exactly the same. But before we go into it any further, would you like a Simpsons question?
I would love a Simpsons question.
So this week, kind of the subplot, if you will, is Bart and Lisa go and stay with Patty and Selma. Have you ever had to stay at someone's house that you didn't really want to?
Yes, yes. So I have an estranged auntie who, I'm sure if my mum and dad listen to this, they'll say, well, don't be airing family's dirty laundry. But because there's no chance of my strange auntie listening to this podcast, I'll tell you, when I had to sleep at her house once, like, she's like a massive nerd, massive Trekkie and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But anybody who knows me knows I'm like an absolute stickler for authenticity. I hate it when dramas aren't portrayed accurately to how history was at the time, etc. So that applies to like fantasy stuff as well. So I was like snooping around. I mean, I was only seven. I was snooping around the house. And I went into our bedroom, and framed on our bedroom wall was some like soft gear porn of Aragorn and Boromir lying on a marble slab just kissing. I was like, what is that even about?
Thing is, right, like, fair enough. Like, yeah, that is a bit weird. But, like, fair enough. If that's your thing, whatever floats your boat, right? But if you knew you had your seven-year-old nephew coming to stay, you'd take it down, wouldn't you?
But you would. It's bizarre behaviour, like. And here's a fun fact to what you like. So she lived in Manchester when we went down. And so, but she bought her house in Manchester from the actress Caroline Ahern, or better known to you and me, Denise, out of the royal family.
Yeah, dead now. Sorry, I've ruined that.
Dead now. Sorry. Dead now. Boromir and Aragorn kissing. Yeah, yeah. That's my story. It was horrible. Moving on anyway. What about you?
Well, I mean, I'm glad that your auntie doesn't listen to this. But live from Manchester, joining us this week.
My dad's like a bit of like a, he's old-fashioned, let's say the least. And he was like, oh, I wonder who she's going to lay all her money to in the will. She says, probably a charity dancing with Daleks or something. That's just petty.
Dancing with Daleks.
Like, how do you come up with this? Who's rattled your cage, bird brain?
What's bizarre about that is, like, the fact that, yeah, she's leaving them to Daleks anyway, but the fact that there's, like, a charity for, like, impoverished Daleks out there somewhere.
and rather than offering them, like, any system maintenance or upgrades, it's all about dancing.
Yeah, like, what's that going to do?
How is that going to help? What about you?
I don't think I've really got anything, like, sort of traumatic like that, but I went through a period where I was just, like, I was, like, a massive home bird, like... Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, if I'd stay out at, like, even if I'd stay at, like, a mate's house, I'd always, like, get, like, really homesick by, like, 8 o'clock, and I just want to go home. And I always remember staying over one of my friend's houses in primary. And I remember just feeling, like, really sad, and I just started to cry during the night. And, like, my mate woke up and was like, what's wrong? I was like, I just want to go home. I'm not feeling too well. So, like,
loser.
I know, yeah, proper loser behavior, this. I remember, like, his mum and dad, because they only live like 5 minutes away, but his mum and dad came in and they like tried to like sort of calm us down. They were like, do you want some Calpol or something?
His dad was giving you red wine.
Take your clothes off.
Just get these bottoms off, young, and you'll be all right.
Maybe if you air your legs out, you'll feel better. But I remember I made that much of like a song and dance. I remember like my mum and dad had like come home at like 3 o'clock in the morning and like pick us up. And then when I got home, my mum was like, so what's up with your son? What's happened? I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. I just want to go to bed. And absolutely
human. Like, you've drugged them up at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. Your dad's had to drink drive to come and get you and everything.
Yeah. I thought I'll just finish this bottle of wine and I'll come and get you.
There is something about, I think it's very obvious, right? You might have a friend from school, whatever, and like, oh, okay, we'll do a sleepover. I think you know very quickly whether you're going to settle in their house or not.
Yeah, that's it. It's so like foreign, isn't it? And so like alien. Best friends with them in the world, but you're like, you don't truly know someone as a kid, I think, until you've like spent an extended amount of time in their house.
Yeah. I think I was in year six, so I was probably like 11 or something. I stayed down at a lad's house who I was like good friends with at the time. And I remember I walked in and like, where am I? We were 11. But he had like a 19-year-old brother who had a punch bag in the kitchen and he was just going hell for leather. And I was like, why? And I knew then I was like, because like I was just a kid. Not only the punch bag in the kitchen was alien enough, but also he was
like going at it like Tyson.
Oh, angry young man. Like Rocky punching the frozen meat.
No, yeah. But to be fair though, this lad whose house I left, his dad as well, like another thing that I've left out of the story, but I'm going to just put it in now. I've spoken to you. I don't care. Who knows now, right? But he was a raging alcoholic. To the point where I remember like we used to go and play football, me and this mate. And like I remember there was once where like his dad came down, he was just like sat watching us, and that like my mate was in goal. I was just like taking shots at him. And he was like, "Oh, do you want a bottle of pop, lads?" And we're like, "Oh yeah, please." So he like he took us to the shop and he got me and my mate a bottle of pop each. And then he just got a six pack of like Fosters that just sat on the bench and continued watching us play football and just had the entire pack to himself.
But that's a problem, isn't it?
Like not even in like a long period of time. It was literally in the space of like an hour and a half. He'd had six cans.
That's an issue, isn't it? I'm a bit of a. I think it's a no-no to drink around kids, personally. I know each their own and stuff, but
no,
especially in public.
I mean, it's fine if they're drinking with you. You know, if you
get I just mean it's rude not to offer the bands a drink.
Exactly. Hey, I'm glad we're on the same page there, Daniel.
So, you know, moving swiftly on, should I get some fun facts in there just in case?
Yeah, please. Go on before we incriminate anybody's dad.
Yeah, except mine. This is the one I really like. This is the 50th episode of The Simpsons.
Is this? So we've done 50 episodes.
This is our 50th episode, not counting any specials as well. So this is probably like our 52nd or something the specials.
I mean, 29 of those episodes are lost to the annals of time, aren't they, really? Mm-hmm.
They are gone forever. But we did do them, we promise. We did do them. We might put them back on. We just need Podbean to go quiet. We'll get them back on for you. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. The original script called for Marge to go to a stressed mother's institute, but it was rejected at the table read in favour of a spa. So what would a stressed mother's institute be? This is what I was thinking about that.
I feel like it would just be a mental institution, wouldn't it, really?
Pretty much, yeah.
Going for. But one, they've already done that this season with Homer in the Michael Jackson episode that we do not speak of. And I think it's just a bit sad, because at least with this one, like you said earlier, you do feel like a little bit buzzing for Marge, because you're like, oh, go on, like she's having a nice break. She's finally getting like some relaxing time. Wouldn't it just be awful to see her like get sectioned, basically?
Like,
an opinion.
Being force-fed pills and stuff. Originally, Troy McClure wasn't in the script, but after the table read, the writers pressed what they called the, quote, panic button, also known as Philip Hartman, and then wrote him in. So I quite like that, actually, because when I was looking into it, they were like, oh, this isn't very good. It hasn't got enough, like, verve in it, whatever. So they'll just get Phil Hartman in here.
Yeah, I thought, because you know what? Like, looking back on The Simpsons, I always feel like Phil Hartman wasn't really in that many. And when he was, it was kind of like, oh, it's a special thing. Like, oh, Phil Hartman's in this week. Now that we're doing all of these, I feel like he's just been in it like every week.
It's funny with Philip Hartman, because I think he's one of those ones they don't want to overexpose, because he's so good, like, when he is in it. So I think, but obviously if they throw him in more, then he wouldn't be as good. So I think they use him sparingly. Your final fun fact for the week is the train station when Marge leaves for Rancho Relaxo includes a brief cameo appearance of a character modeled after The Simpsons director Jim Reardon. Reardon disliked flying and took trains wherever possible, and this is reflected in the episode.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's a little nod to Reardon, who refused to fly, a bit like Dennis Bergkamp. He was the same, wasn't he?
I was about to say, yeah, he used to do all the European games, and it would take him like 3 days to get the fucking Gdansk, because he couldn't be asked to get on a flight.
Yeah. I understand that. Like, are you scared of flying?
Nah, because you know what? This proper isn't the attitude to have, right? But my attitude with stuff like this, same with like when people are scared of heights and they're scared of like bungee jump and skydive, I just think, like, if something goes wrong, you're dead when you hit the ground, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Well, so exactly,
you're not going to fail out.
I think somebody once said to me, you know, you're like, you're 50 times, you know, so there's like loads more car accidents what there is plane accidents, basically. And right. I remember listening to him and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because when I was younger, I had a bit of a fear. I was like, oh, that's true. That is true. Yeah, yeah, that makes it a lot better. And then my brother just went, yeah, but if you have a crash in a plane, you're a lot more likely to die. It's like, that's also true. That's also true.
You both make exquisite points. No, but that's what I mean, though. Like, yeah, you're going to die. And the worst bit will be waiting for the impact. I mean, I say I'm not scared of flying, but one bit I do hate in flying is that bit where you wait for the wings to touch the tarmac.
The wings?
Wait, sorry. I'm not a pilot.
See, that would be a huge problem if the wings touch the ground. Huge problem.
The landing gear.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think I've spoke to a pilot in the past few years, believe it or not. I was at a wedding and this lass's granddad happened to be a pilot and he was there and obviously interesting as out as you can imagine. He was like telling us what turbulence actually is. It's the equivalent of a speed bump and stuff. And when the wings are like bandying about all over, it's absolutely fine because the planes are designed to do it. So he really put my fears at rest, actually.
Yeah. And again, I'm very much like an odds man. I always just think like, what are the odds of this going down? Do you know what I mean? That's what I always think.
I think there's 60,000 planes in the air. How many planes are in the air right now? So currently, it's not that high, but at any given time, there's up to 8,755 commercial planes in the air.
And what are the odds of the very plane that you're on being the one to go down?
Yeah, when you're talking that it works out at like 9 million people in the air. No, sorry, 1 million people in the air at any given time. So like, you'd have to be pretty lucky to be like amongst the 200 or so who do crash.
This is a nice podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice. Should we come into the plot, maybe?
Yeah. Well, actually, before you do die on a plane, I've heard that what happens is...
There's a huge amount of panic. That's what I understand. Huge. Well, you can't breathe and you're...
I'd be like, oh, me, on the plane. I'd be like, oh, we're going to die, aren't we?
I thought you meant Otto off Malcolm in the Middle, who has night terrors.
Oh, no. I mean, the one that's on The Simpsons, Dan, because this is a fucking Simpsons podcast.
Is it, though? Is it a Simpsons podcast? Or is it more me and you talking to like a handful of loyal listeners?
That's it, yeah. A handful of very unwell people. That's what it is.
And we wish our listeners all the very best in your recovery.
No, but seriously, like, seek help, because this isn't it. Like, seriously. making things worse for you. I don't know what else to tell you.
Right, come on. Plot. I want to hear about the plot.
This episode aired on the 6th of February, 1992. It was written by David M. Stern and directed by Mark Kirkland. At the beginning of this episode, we see Marge struggling to keep up with the demands of looking after a family as she tends to their every need. Things finally come to a head one morning when, after making breakfast, the family's packed lunches, driving Barnes at the school, and grocery shopping, it becomes too much for poor Marge and she breaks down on a bridge. Mentally.
I do.
It's not like a car breaking down. Yes. Yeah, mentally.
I got you.
Crazy. But like we said earlier, I do sympathise with Marge here, just simply because, like, I think we're both the same. We see a lot of our own mother in Marge, and, like, they do everything for us, and they never get the recognition they deserve, did they?
I think it must be incredibly difficult to be a mother, and particularly a working mother, as me and you both had, like, to go to work and then to juggle family life. It's so difficult, like.
Yeah, like just some of the stuff that like Homer has her doing, like when she's running her errands, like where just puts the bowling ball in her hand and she's clearly already got too many things to hold. And he just drops the bowling ball in because that'll be like the heavy one. That'll not be like a little kid's one, Dan. That'll be like a bloke's one, that.
I know.
One that, like, you actually do struggle to throw a bit, but you can never like let anybody see.
That's right.
Like, I struggle a bit.
the one where you'd have been better off using that ramp that they give you sometimes. If they can see your ability is clearly lacking.
They just put the sides up for you without you even
One thing I will say is I did love where the guy's like, oh come on lady, this better be good, and she just like the lions roar. I did make us laugh that.
Yeah, I laughed at the traffic jam bit with Mr. Teeny and Krusty, where like, you know, everyone's like held up in this traffic jam, and then you see Krusty and Mr. Teeny, where Krusty's like, oh, now you're getting chocolate all over everything.
It's funny. Like, I like that Krusty, even when he's not like grafting, he's got Mr. Teeny with him. I always like that.
Like, I can't imagine a more stressful situation than like sitting in your car, like in a traffic jam, with like a restless chimpanzee.
Exactly.
Who's eating an ice cream and it's melting all over. Stressing it.
Somebody asked me a question a couple of weeks ago, right? So answer this carefully. What would you rather? Every time you get in a car, you have to fight a chicken, or once a year you have to fight an orangutan, but you get a sword?
Probably the orangutan. Because if that's only once a year, I could make sure that like I was on my game, I was shit hot ready for this, and I'd take up fencing and that, so I was like really good at sword fighting as well.
Chance. So I agree with you actually, but the missus, I asked her the same thing. She was like, well, no, she'd rather do the chicken, because then you would never have to buy chicken either, because presumably you're fighting to the death. So, like, I don't think the chicken's going to just get, like, a bust nose and go to, like, the medical room at school. But, like, so the argument is, yeah, but you would get free chicken.
I love the, like, logistics, like the survival logistics the chickens use.
That's a mother. That's what Marge would choose as well. You know what I mean?
Sticking in the bends, fair play. Homer sees Marge on a breaking news bulletin and rushes to the scene to try and help her. To be fair to Homer here, like, he does, like, pull it out of the bag, and he does say the right thing in the end. She agrees to come home. Later in bed, though, Marge sees an advert for Rancho Relaxo, a secluded spa resort in the Springfield Mountains. I only noticed, actually, when I was watching the episode for this, all the activities, or pretty much every single activity that Marge does, isn't relaxing. Like, even I didn't get that joke. I didn't realize it. But, like, even on the advert where it's like, you can swim, play tennis. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, intense activities.
I tell you which bit I did like, where she was going like through the list of things she's done. She'd done some cigar making. I think that sounded fun.
That just sounds like that's like free labour. She's been coerced into there.
I think there would be something quite therapeutic, like getting your tobacco leaves and choosing which ones you want, rolling them in that brown paper. I think I would quite enjoy that. Also, as we were recording the podcast, our listeners, I've just sent you the dental cement link.
Oh, thank you. We're gonna take a short break while I get all the six tubs of this.
And then we will live stream me doing Hans Philip. can you imagine the viewers? Because you'd have to be mental. You'd have to be mental to sit and watch that.
Thing is, though, I think there'd be a proper like mob mentality start. Like, do you know when you hear about those like Twitch streams where like somebody dies? And like,
they're like
the people, the anonymous people are like, oh, like, do this. I think that's probably what it would descend to very, very quickly.
Yeah, and like, before you know it, I'm popping your eyeball out with a pencil. I wonder if you could still see out of it, because I wonder if that damages, well, it would damage the ocular vein, but I wonder if it would damage it to the point there, like, it would stop you from being able to use your eye.
Well, I don't know whether this is scientifically accurate or whether I'm just like remembering Toy Story 2, but like, it's another bit where like Mr. Potato Head loses an eye and he can still see it.
I don't think that quite applies to humans, but right.
we'll find out, won't we?
Given he is a potato and two not real. I just think he's neat.
nice Simpsons again.
Simpsons.
I like it.
Simpsons, say Simpsons.
Anyway, speaking of the Simpsons, Marge discusses her need for a vacation with Homer, and he agrees as long as Marge swears she's coming back. So as Marge leaves for the weekend, Bart and Lisa are sent to spend time with Patty and Selma. Maggie was supposed to join them, but when she clings to the doorframe with what appears to be superhuman strength, Marge suggests that she stays in the house with Homer. I do love the bit where Lisa's watching. She's like, wish I'd thought of that.
It's funny. I tell you what it got me, that like Homer's not capable of looking after his own kids all at once.
Which fair play, really, like understandable.
Yeah, Marge has been very sensible with that.
Yeah. Are you yawning during the podcast?
Sorry, I was. I've done a big shift. Wow. Sorry, I was yawning. Sorry, apologies.
That was rude.
That was rude.
I do love how much Homer's actually yanking on Maggie to try and get her like off the door frame as well. Like, he's at no point during that is he like taking into account the fact he's like handling a baby. Like, do you know what I mean?
It makes me giggle that Maggie hasn't got the slightest strain on her face. Yeah. It's like it's as if it's easy for Maggie.
Yeah, proper superhuman baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's like just because I'm older now, but like I got proper anxiety, me watching Homer looking after Maggie in this episode. Like, it's just like Leona. And it's like, that would be tragic, that. Like, do you know what I mean?
It is painful. However, the whole Homer babysitting and Barney coming along delivers one of my favorite jokes in all of The Simpsons, where Barney wakes up and he's going, oh, you want a rough night? Try sleeping on one of these. Like, he's got the conch shell.
Like, yeah, what is that? What is he sleeping on?
It's a conch shell. So it's like, it's just a particular type of shell, like a hermit crab might use or whatever. But one, why is it in the house? And two, why wouldn't you just move it?
Why is it there? Surely he's woke up and he's felt it in the night. Yeah, you would just move it, wouldn't you?
It's foot and body. And then also, oh, we got her arm. The quicker we can get her, the quicker we can have omelets. He just pulls the water pipe from under the step. Because he turns the water pipe into the house as well, so all the waters get blasted
in. He's using that much strength, Dan. He's able to like pull a pipe from its foundation. What was he going to do if that was like a child's arm? Like, do you know what I mean?
Tell you what he was going to do. He was going to have an omelette.
Ah, that's true. That would have made everything better, to be fair.
That's what he was going to do.
I mean, to be fair, if I could think of two people in the world that were like less capable of looking after your kid, like other than the McCanns, maybe, it probably would be Homer and Barney. Don't know about you.
Or us.
To be honest, I think if you were putting us into that equation, I think it would go like, you'd ask the McCanns first, and then if they were like busy, they were having a fucking meal somewhere, you'd be like, oh God, we'll have to ask the Pod Pals.
I don't think you're putting much faith in the Pod Pals.
There's only one way to find out.
Sign up to the Pod Pals babysitting service today. All children will receive free dentistry.
Things are equally grim for Bart and Lisa at Paddy and Selma's. After enjoying a delicious tongue sandwich, they choose to go to bed at 5:30. Their problems don't stop there, as they have to share the bed with Paddy and Selma. Paddy warns Bart that she's a snorer. I mean, I proper laughed at just the intensity of Patty snoring. It's
so horrible. I can't say anything because my snoring's worse than that. I'm not joking either. Like,
me.
Yeah, like the missus shows me videos of what I've been like during the night, and it's amazing that I don't wake myself up. It's bizarre, in fact, because like if a firework went off next to me, I'd wake up. But my own like bellowing, guttural snoring, it doesn't even disturb us. I don't even flicker.
Yeah, I don't know what, because I never used to be a snorer. I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is. It's because I'm overweight and constantly stressed now, to be fair. That's probably what's going on for me.
That won't help.
I got told about my snoring, so I was a bit like conscious. I was like, I'll see what's going on here. So I actually did record myself doing it, right? And like, I don't know whether you know, when you record something on your iPhone, you listen to it back, you've got the option to like skip the silence.
All right.
And it just takes you to the next bit where there's like audio picked up on the recording. So I was like, oh, I'll just like skim through it, thinking like, oh, I'll be skimming through for a good like couple of hours before like you start hearing something. It was like 4 minutes, Dan. It was like 4 minutes in the recording, and it was just like off the scale.
It is like, I always think snoring really is the sign of a big fat unhealthy man. And like, I do that.
God, I'm glad you're unfit as well. You know, like I think that's part of what works with our friendship, you know, the fact that we're both like, our bodies are both a mess.
I just sweat Big Mac sauce. It's a big fat pig.
Meanwhile, Homer is no doubt trying his best, but I do feel sorry for Maggie when we see how much she's missing Marge, and she sneaks out in the middle of the night to search for her. A horrified Homer finds out the next morning, and panic ensues. Despite Barney's suggestion that they just have omelette instead, a frantic search begins. Credit to Maggie, she does make it all the way at the Springfield Mall, while Homer calls the missing baby hotline. I've noticed they do this gag quite a lot, even in this season, where they'll ring a hotline and the music's just proper depressing, inappropriate. This one, it's that baby come back and Homer just starts crying. And
yes, then
it made us think of, is it the Michael Jackson one where Marge rings the mental institution and then Crazy by, what's her name, Patsy Cline comes on?
Nah, yeah, that's right. That is right.
Starts sobbing down the phone.
I feel sorry for Maggie, but it's also, I think, very reflective, because I say to my son that, there's under some circumstances, whether he's poorly or he's teething or whatever, he just wants his mum. I'm his dad, I'm his parent, I can offer him comfort, but sometimes it's just your mother you want.
Yeah, you're there. I mean, I know he's only young at the minute, but you're essentially there, Dan, to build stuff for him.
Yeah,
like watch the football. That's just what you're there for. Everything else, just
I watched this dad seminar once, and the speaker, she was saying kids will come to mothers for comfort and love, and they go to dads for excitement and play, and that's just that's just fucking nature, man.
Eventually, Maggie is found and returned by Chief Wiggum just as Homer is going to pick up Marge. I love how Chief Wiggum just lets him off with criminal neglect.
Yeah, he's kissing him and says, you big lag.
I mean, hopefully the same thing happens in your case, Dan. Hopefully.
Well, we can only hope Durham Constabulary will be that kind. But I was going to say, what I did like was how little information Chief Wiggum required to hand Maggie back over. She's small and she's a girl. Big girl.
Big girl. The fact that he had her behind his back as well, she was a nice surprise as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's like she was a cornet or a hammer.
Why were Cornetto and Hammer so intrinsically linked in your thoughts there?
I was just thinking the gifts I'd like. Me granddad used to always buy us an ice cream, bless him, and then you bought us a hammer for my 17th birthday.
I did, yes. I remember I went to a DIY shop and I bought you loads of DIY.
I've still got that hammer, because obviously it's only a mini one. Genuinely, it's still in me shed, and I use it for like nails that require a smaller bang than a bigger.
You know what, though? That's going to bite me on the ass, because you're inevitably going to go crazy one day and kill your family with that hammer.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They're going to trace it back to who bought it, and my name's going to be on the receipt.
Exactly. And also, they'll be able to trace your dental record somewhere, because I'll be using it to chip away at bits of your teeth when I'm doing your fillings.
The episode ends when the whole family, relieved by Marge's return, are all sharing the same bed. As Bart turns out the light, the last eyes we see to close, and Maggie's content with the fact her mum is back. Really nice ending. I think Maggie's really cute in this episode as well, like you said earlier, when she's looking for Marge and that, bless her.
I always like Maggie, because she's obviously got a personality underneath all of it. And she's canny, isn't she? She's a canny bairn.
Canny bairn is the northeast expression, I think.
Yes, I do like Maggie.
Any jokes in this one, though, that we've skimmed over?
No, I think I only mentioned about Barney. You want a bad night, try sleeping on one of these. It's so stupid. But yeah, also, I really like that one.
When he turns up and he's like, well, if it isn't little Bart.
yeah, guy, hold him.
That is proper your dad's friends, though, isn't it? How they don't really know you, but they have they basically met you once as a baby. So that's, you know what I mean?
Now that you're uncle.
I think one of the jokes I picked up on this one was when obviously the kids are staying at Paddy and Selma's and it's hell. And then just when Homer turns up and look, have you seen Maggie? Which I don't know why he thinks that would be an okay thing to do. Probably just set the alarm bells off with his kids. But when he leaves and all you hear from inside the apartment is, come on, kids, time to rub on Paddy's feet.
Yeah, totally. It's also where Bart finds the blackhead gun. I don't even know what a blackhead gun is.
No,
it's self-explanatory, obviously, but how it operates, I've no idea.
Yeah, surely you use it to pick blackheads, but I don't know. Is there like a tray of blackheads inside that could potentially fall out on a bar? I don't know.
I'll tell you how it operates. It's basically like a little bit of a plunger. So you put like the small metal tube on your blackhead, and then you would squeeze the other end, and the suction sucks the pus out.
This is a nice podcast. I'll see it again, isn't it?
So I'm just going to do my blackheads, and I'm going to do his villains.
But hey, no, look, that does bring us to the end of this week's Pod Pals.
How nice.
This week's episode.
How nice. Really would you... It. Sorry, no, go on. Sorry, mate. I was very rude. I apologise.
No, I just really liked it. I've got nothing else to add whatsoever because, quite frankly, my energy level is waning drastically. Mm.
And this is where Dan does his spiel. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Pod Pals. Join us again next week when we will be reviewing. Anthony, do you know what it is?
See, no, because it's your episode. I don't really bother looking, but...
Oh, it's professional, isn't it?
Oh, what is it?
Bart the Lover.
Oh, yes, it is. It's... And oh, yes, I really hate yo-yos with...
That's the one.
Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson. Yeah, yes. We'll be reviewing that next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, yada, yada, yada. We're on all the socials. Give us a like, a follow. We do appreciate it. Until then, do stay safe. Don't do any DIY dentistry, especially when me and Anth are available and have very competitive rates with your private dentist. We also sell a range of blackhead guns and a babysitting service. So, you know, Pod Pals really does offer you everything. Right, Anth, let's get these fillings started. Come on.
Shouldn't I have some sort of anesthetic there?